in 1974 and 75, he taped a bunch of shows in a kind of an old 1950s club setting. Actually brought in musicians, blues musicians, R&B musicians who had sort of been forgotten, and had them perform. He'd have a little audience to play in front of. So he's doing this in the 70s. But again, we're going back. The stuff we're going to be listening to right now predates that. These are all, again, late 60s recordings, of which Cold Shot was one.
And this is with a real small group now. He doesn't have lots of horns anymore. He doesn't have all these background singers. A small core group. Cold Shot's really like four or five people at most. And then some of these other projects on the Epic label have a few more vocalists added. But nothing like the huge bands he'd taken out before.
Sugarcane Harris, who we're going to now feature in a few tracks here, is probably best known, well, not maybe best known, but certainly his first claim to fame was being the part of Don and Dewey, Dewey Terry. Was a childhood friend of his. The two of them became a duo, R&B duo.
On the Specialty label.
On Specialty. Had a number of big songs that were eventually ripped off by white artists, including an A&R man by the name of Sonny Bono. So Sugarcane and Don Dewey eventually stopped doing what they were doing in the early 60s, even though what they were doing was some amazing stuff for pop music at the time. Sugarcane kind of wandered about and got picked up and was found by, first Frank Zappa, and then Johnny Otis got hooked on Sugarcane's abilities, and apparently was the one who gave him the name Sugarcane. So we're going to take a listen to some of the tunes from this era, from this late 60s era of Sugarcane Harris, starting off with a song that is featured on the follow-up to Cold Shot album, Cuttin' Up.
But let's do our theme, now, top of the hour.
The theme. Thank you for reminding me.
And now it's time for the Johnny Otis Show. Johnny Otis.
Johnny Otis.
Johnny Otis.
Johnny Otis.
Johnny Otis.
Johnny Otis. Johnny Otis.
Johnny Otis. Johnny Otis.
Hi, everyone. This is Johnny Otis, and that means it's time to rock. Yes, and it's time to roll. And we're gonna get way back in the alley with the blues.
Broadcasting from Fiddle College, this is KFJC, Los Altos Hills. It's the final hour of Brother from Another Planet, the Johnny Otis story.
From Tennessee, he sneaked in my back door and stole my woman away from me, and I cried boo. I really got the blues. I cry blue.
Thank you.
Watts Breakaway on 89.7 KFJC with vocalist Delmar Evans, who features prominently in this brief time period of Johnny Otis's recording life. Again, he's a musician we don't know much about. He kind of comes in.
Mighty Mouth.
We know that's about as much as we know. And actually, the Mighty Mouth came from an album that followed this album, Cutting Up, which we've heard a couple of songs in the set. Let's talk about that first. We heard Watts Breakaway. Heard from Sugarcane Harris from a Johnny Otis produced album, self-titled. Don Sugarcane Harris, instrumental Take It All Off, in which, besides hearing that kind of classical-sounding violin from Sugarcane Harris, and by the way, he was a classically trained violinist, we also heard a lot of vibes from Johnny Otis, which is kind of cool. And then we start off the set with from the album Cutting Up, and Sugarcane Harris, both vocals and violin on Ellum Stole My Baby. And
it's a real update of the Johnny sound. You know, he's trying to integrate some kind of streetwise, modern, urban things, you know, with the vocal stylings and the kind of Tower Power style horns and stuff. And, you know, it was really the thing to do at the time because certainly what he'd been playing for the last 40 years wasn't really going to work anymore.
In fact, somebody also might say that the fact that his son Sugi had been working a bit with Frank Zappa, that it may have, and you know, Zappa was in more communication with Frank Zappa and hearing his music too, that some of that influence was starting to rub off as well. Hard to say.
Yeah, you could see that they really did connect when listening to them on the radio show, and that Frank really respected Johnny, and it was mutual, and they could learn from each other at this point.
So those. By the way, there was one more album that we're not going to play tonight for a number of reasons.
It's a sad story.
After Cutting Up, Johnny Otis decided, maybe with the coercion of Delmar, to do kind of a raw, kind of low-based album of songs that kind of go back to, you know, olden times, folklore, African-American folklore, songs that came out of the jails and out of the maybe work camps, and they chose as the name of the album "Snatch and the Poontangs." Can we say that on radio, Hart?
I think so. As long as you don't know what you're talking about.
They were, in fact, they were so concerned about this album's popularity, which actually never really happened. That they chose not to have their own names credited to the album. So Delmar Evans became Mighty Mouth. That's how that name stuck for what was left of his career with Johnny Otis.
I think for a similar type project, you might look up the catalogs of Blowfly or or Red Fox. Actually, Red Fox was a running partner for Johnny for some time. He was his radio sidekick for a period of time, and good as Red Fox could be salty.
So we move into the 70s. We talked a little bit about the 70s, and Johnny is, again, getting more involved with TV and radio. And then come around 1974, a woman by the name of Bernice Smith, who was a minister in the Holiness Church, which was a primarily a black Pentecostal church, encouraged Johnny that he should start a church in South Central L.A. And Johnny was kind of taken aback by that. He never thought of himself as a minister sort of type. But with her encouragement and his memories in the during the 40s of a prominent minister named Reverend Clayton Russell, who was very much a progressive, do for the people sort of man. He was able to create businesses in the black community that no one else could, to keep the economy going for those living in South Central LA. Was quite an influential man in his own right. So Johnny converted a 14-room house they had bought in the mid-60s and hadn't really used for quite a while. He converted this house into a church, led the church for about 8 years into the mid-80s or so. It was an all-inclusive church welcoming prostitutes and winos and persons of all faiths, including Jews and Buddhists. And no doubt the music was powerful in that church. You can read about the church in his book, Upside Your Head. And by the way, in the 90s, when he was finally retiring, so to speak, up here in Northern California, he started a church again for a few years up in the Santa Rosa area. Didn't last quite as long. But and in this next set of music, you'll actually be hearing a couple of people that came out of that church of the 70s, a couple of singers that Johnny was so impressed by that he wanted to bring into his recordings of the Johnny Otis show. So about this time in the late 70s, he decided he wanted to do a jazz album. And out of that came this track on 89.7 KFJC, Zat Zuze.
Oh, Lord, I pity the fool. one day you'll laugh, you'll walk away. Oh, I pity the fool. Lord, I pity the fool, yeah. I pity the fool who falls in love with you. If he falls in love with you and expects you to be true.
be.
Every beat of my heart on 89.7 KFJC. And that was actually written pretty early back, right? That was
there was almost a doo-wop version of that. And then turned into a hit by Gladys Knight and the Pips in about 1970.
And now is found on the, the new Johnny Otis Show album, which was released on Alligator Records in 1981. Johnny sort of coming to the... Well, he still got the church going, but it's kind of coming to the end. And he's obviously ready to start slowing things down. Before that, we also heard from the Johnny Otis Show. That also was a from KPCC
or KPFK.
KPFK.
That's a Pacifica station in Southern California, December 1984. And I think much as KPFA does here, that was like a holiday fair that they broadcast from the Santa Monica Civic. I Pity the Fool. That's
Mr. T song, isn't it?
Yeah. Right.
This actually predates Mr. T for sure. Let's see. Anyway, Delmar Evans, that you heard vocaling on that. Johnny Otis with What Else Can I Do, also from the Johnny Otis Show, featuring one of his star members of the choir in the church, then brought out finally to do secular music, Charles Williams, who we actually got a chance to see on Saturday as part of the Johnny Otis Show. Very strong vocalist. And then 1978, Johnny Otis released an album that was kind of supposed to be kind of a jazz album, and it was pretty much had a couple of gutsy vocals on it. But from that, we heard an instrumental, Johnny Otis instrumental, called Zatouze, Back to Jazz, the name of the album on Jazz World Records. So we're pushing into the 80s and 90s, very little recording from Johnny coming into this period of time. He is definitely slowing down.
And he's sort of building up his empire in Northern California with his... He had like a roadside market for a little while.
Yeah, he actually had a farm in 1990 that he bought in 1991. And then he started the it was actually a grocery store, 1992 in downtown Sebastopol, which is where he was. So he was growing on the farm, on the big property. He was actually growing the apples and grapes as well, and then opened up the grocery store to market the organic apple juice and the red and white wine, Rhythm Red and Do Right White. And then on top of that, as if that wasn't enough, he started doing performances in the grocery store. That went on for a little over a year.
And that some of those were actually remote broadcasts too, right, to KPFA.
There's also the he was doing the broadcast from the brewery on Saturday mornings when he started doing the broadcast up in, when he came up to the Bay Area and started doing his broadcast on KBFK or KPFA.
That was sort of my first exposure actually to Johnny, the personality of Johnny, because I remember I would be tuning into that show and he would just sort of rap about the good old days and play some of these tracks, and he knew everybody, you know, all these artists. He'd have some kind of personal relationship with them, and he'd go spin these yarns and then play some of these great old tunes. But what I noticed over time is that he said less and less on the show, and they would have other people kind of filling in time. And I could see that he was kind of phasing out, and then it just wasn't happening anymore.
So he did a few albums. One was called Otisology in the mid-80s. His final album was an album called Food for Life in 2002, featuring among, for the first time, I think, his grandson, Lucky, who we talked about a little bit earlier in the show. And in 1993, he decided he wanted to do an album of from music from the Black Territory bands, which the album was actually heavily Ellington and Count Basie, who I guess started out as Black Territory bands, but then made it big and became national sensations. So that was 1993, and the track we're going to play off this in this next set, starting off the set, is "The Mooch," a lesser known Duke Ellington composition. Here for you on 89.7 KFJC.
Thank you. to the sunrise. Barbecue and blues, cultural activity, got all the news. Near the moon over Cleveland, I'm in the East Bay. You know I love San Francisco, but it was time to move away. It gives me such a thrill. It's a brand new day in Oaktown. There's sun up in the hill. There's a moon over Cleveland. I'm in the East Bay. Well, you know I love San Francisco, but it was time to move away. It was time.
Carlos Zerosita on 89.7 KHJC with the Johnny Otis Band, an album, late 90s album called Train Through Oakland. Carlos Zerosita, pals with the brother of Sugar Pie DeSanto, and I think that's how he came to the attention of Johnny Otis. And so this album is on Johnny's J&T Records.
That's about his fifth label or something like that. I know there was the Hawk Sounds label. There was one called Eldo, and Dig, and I think there was one more too.
Yeah, I think this is the one that's probably lasted the longest too. although fewer recordings on them. He also heard from the Spirit of Black Territory Band's album on our Hooli. We heard the Ellington's tune "The Mooch." And then started off with a tune from Johnny's final album, Food for Life, released in 2002, and featured a song by his grandson, Lucky Otis, called "The Vamp," on which Lucky played organ. So, boom, boom, boom. That's pretty much it for the. For the life and times and music of Johnny Otis for this go-around, at least.
Yeah, and, you know, not too many artists can claim to have both performed and released recordings for such a long period as he managed to do. You know, starting out in the 40s, most artists just, you know, they really couldn't keep up with the times, and Johnny tried his best, and he did a pretty good job. With the exception of, you know, a decade here or there where he was just kind of hopelessly out of sync with what was going on. But that's not to say that what he was doing was not good, because he was always a capable musician, and he had a keen eye for picking out talent, building new bands when he needed to, getting some great, great vocalists. So listening to this stuff, I realized how incredible his vocalists were through the 40s. You know, vocal stylings that are stand up with any major recording artist, and of course Esther Phillips went on to great fame on her own after she left Johnny, and you know, become sort of a diva in her own way. So he knew how to pick them.
Certainly did. And for one last time, in the mid-80s, he recorded an album called Otisology, and on it was probably, I guess, the final recording he did of his hit, as he would sometimes call it in his performances. And so we're going to go out with this. We'd like you all to get up and get ready to dance, at least with your hands, as we close. I'm John Goldfarb, by the way.
And Art Crimes here.
And we thank you for tuning in. We've got Nancy Reagan right behind us, ready to move in with his special on Mike Kelly. Do enjoy that and all the other Mayhem specials coming up. This is Hand Jive 85 on your Jive 99.7.
He's once again, he's
where am I going with this?
We're mentioned every other station tonight, I think, that we could have possibly done.
Hand Jive 85. Ciao for now.
Good night, folks.